Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
Christmas, the season to be jolly. Joy to the world. Hark the herald angels sing. I'll be home for Christmas. All kinds of songs that we sing throughout this holiday. We are now in a Christmas season, and houses and businesses are decorating for Christmas. Most of us will have some type of Christmas tree with presents and family get-togethers. We also are obviously doing toy runs, and I got one more after this, which is the Lawrence County Toy Run. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Most of us have seen or heard the movies Grinch the Stole Christmas and A Christmas Carol with Scrooge. Both the Grinch and Scrooge hated Christmas. The Grinch wanted to stop it and did everything they could to stop and keep Christmas from coming. And today I want to talk to you about two kings, one who wanted to stop Christmas and the other who started Christmas. The first one, oh, by the way, if you haven't picked up there, we're staying in chapter 2 of Matthew the whole time. So just keep your Bible open to that, which is basically what we were speaking on last week, but it's a different thing. The first king we're going to look at is Herod. Herod was the king, as it tells us here in verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. The man who tried to kill Christmas, Herod himself. A man who hated Christmas more than the Grinch or the Scrooge combined. And if he had his way, there would be no Christmas today. Born in a political, well-to-do family, Herod was destined for a life of, he was just a hardball, a guy achieving great power. And power was everything to him. At the age of 25, he was named the governor of Galilee, which is a province. And he was more or less the king of that. A high position for such a young man. The Romans were hoping that Herod would control the Jews who lived in that area. And that was their goal for him, to control the Jews. Because it was the Roman Empire then, and they were ruling. But they wanted to keep the Jews in control. The Roman Senate actually named him King of the Jews, which he loved. He liked being a king and the power that went with it. And Herod was addicted to power. He used it, his power, in a crafty and cruel way. Just to give you an idea how bad it was, he killed people that he even thought might hurt his power or might take it away. He actually killed his brother-in-law. He killed his mother-in-law. He ended up killing his two sons. And yes, even his wife. All because of keeping power. Anyone that got in his way that would take away his power, if he even just thought of it, he would do away. He murdered a lot of people. Herod ends up ruling for 40 years during his reign. And at the time that we're seeing here in the text, he was near the end of his life. Now, he didn't know it. I'm just kind of giving you a little history here. And of his lifetime. And in comes the wise men. Look in verse 2. Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. But then in verse 3, I won't read it, but God tells us that Herod is troubled. Why? He don't want another king around. They come in and they're telling him now that there's a king of the Jews that's just been born. Wait, I'm the king of the Jews. And that really bothered him. And Herod being Herod wants to do away with the problem right away. Don't want to wait about this. And he tells the wise men to let him know when they find the king so he can come and worship. Well, obviously that was a lie. And but what he was looking to do was to kill Jesus right off the bat. And then in Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. So God knew what Herod was up to ahead of time, knew what he was going to do, and had them go another direction. And then even in verse 13, God speaks to Joseph and Mary to tell them to go to Egypt to avoid Herod as well. But back to Herod now, we find in verse 16, listen what it says here. Then Herod, when he saw he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceedingly wroth. This word in the Greek means this guy is burning mad. He realizes he'd been stabbed in the back by the wise men. And he sets forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which they had diligently required of the wise men. I say my best. I didn't spend hours on it, but I tried to find out if someone could give me an estimate of number of how many kids got killed, but I couldn't come up with a number. But just think about this now. 2 years down to zero, every child was killed in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. So it had to be a lot of... How many? Was it 100? 500? I don't know. 1,000? But it was more than what should have been done. It was, I guess, as bad as the Jews being killed over with Hitler. I mean, this is mass murder. All because he wants to stay in power. Herod will do anything to keep Christmas from coming. And he has all the children killed 2 years and under. Herod did everything he could to keep Christmas from coming and could not. Then we have the second king, Jesus Christ, that has the power of the Godhead. He's God in the flesh. Herod did not stand a chance against him. Herod dies and Christ is now king of the Jews. Christmas has started and we look back, the rest is history. So here's the question today and why we brought up these two kings. Herod is a man of the world. He represents the world, where Christ represents God of the universe. Today, the battle still goes on which king you will serve. The problem today with Christians, we have too many of them trying to live the world and, quote, say, I'm a Christian. And that's a big problem. And God tells me, the more I look in Scripture, the more I see this, be ye holy, for I am holy. The word Christian means Christ-like. I'm supposed to be exactly the way Christ was, the way he acted, how he was among everybody else. And you have to ask yourself, would Christ do these things, whatever it might be? Like, I got this one thing that I'm trying to get victory over. I used to have a really bad temper, really bad. Now I got, let's say, 60-70% under control. I still might get mad, but I don't respond to it. But I still have a problem getting aggravated at people pulling in front of me and all that. I don't know if you do, but I do. And I'll sit there and I say to myself, you idiot, you know, and all that. Now, they can't hear me when I say that, you know, and whether I'm in a car or in a motorcycle. But I want to get to the point where I don't say that. Because number one, what they did happened. I can't change that. Now, if I had the opportunity to talk to the person, which I have done before, like if I was on a motorcycle and it came to a stoplight, I'd pull up beside them. Rather than yell at them, I would talk nicely about what they did. In other words, tried to be Christ-honoring in applying what you need to say to them. But we all have problems. And we need to get victory of them. And we can only do that if we do it and try to be the holy person we're supposed to be. Are we going to be sinless? No. And that's not what this is talking about. What it says is to be Christ-like. And it's so important for us to be Christ-like. That where people see in us, the way we look, the way we speak, how we live our lives, what we do at work, everything reflects. People see it. And they don't always tell us or respond to us or what they're thinking. And sometimes I hear someone say something about somebody else. And then I go, wow, that really impacted them. Because they were looking at somebody that was professing Christian, and they weren't living a Christ-like life. And it bothered the person that was unsaved. You'd be surprised how our testimony in certain situations can cause someone to go the wrong direction. What I'm asking you to do this Christmas, since we have a king that's ruling, is to slow down for the Christmas holiday. I got to the point in my life that I hate people telling me that Christmas is commercialized. I can't change that, and I can't change when they put stuff in the stores, but what I can do is change me. I can change and say, I'm going to make Christmas enjoyable. I'm going to enjoy every day all the way up. I'm not going to worry about when I go to the store where I'm going to park. Park in the back and walk. I need the exercise anyhow. You know, I don't worry about the long lines. I don't worry about anything anymore. And I keep telling my wife, let's have fun every day doing all the stuff, whether it's fixing the turkey for Thanksgiving, working with her, whether we, the fellowship coming up. We can make it a drudgery, and we can say, well, this, you know, we got to get all this together. Is it going to work out? Even if people don't show up, which that's happened before, and didn't bring what they were supposed to bring, we still make the best of it. And that, to me, is important. Enjoy life each and every day, and don't let the things around us bring us down. But I'd like you to slow down. Get to know your Savior like you've never got to know Him before during this Christmas holiday. He came into the world just for you. He died just for you. He made a way through the power of the Holy Spirit to live each day in Christ for you. Remember, this is Christ's birthday, and He's King and not Herod. And I challenge you this every year, and I'm probably going to do it every year in the future if He's still here. And that is, it's His birthday. What are you going to give Christ for His birthday? I can't stress that enough. We spend so much time getting involved with presents for our kids, for our parents, for each other, tree, and everything else, and we lose track of whose birthday this is. And I can't stress enough that we need to understand. All those presents, all the family, all that, it's all great. You know I love Christmas more than anybody. And by the way, I know you're going to hate this. The Farmer's Almanac has predicted the 22nd to the 27th is our greatest chance of snow in Greenville.
Great. So you're going to pay for everybody that's off work?
I ain't going to pay for nothing. So I'm going to be off work, and I'm going
to
go out there. Well, anyhow, now that that's settled.
It ain't settled, ain't gonna snow. Global warming. We did it.
Okay, so here's some of the things, and you probably know these, but I'm just gonna mention anyhow because repetition is worth its weight in gold. What could you give God? Well, number one, you could, if you're not reading the Bible through in a year, you could say, I'm going to read the Bible through this next year. Or maybe you can pray more. Increase your list and I'll add some more people to the list and really be a faithful prayer. I wish I could remember the lady's name at Heritage. But there's a lady there that always comes up to me. She's the sweetest little lady. She always comes up when I see her, if I'm over there, and she says, Mr. Taylor, I sure wish I could support your ministry, but I just don't have... lives off Social Security, but she says, I pray for you every day. And I said, ma'am, don't ever worry about the money. You just keep praying. And you can... Prayer is powerful if we use it. Witnessing this coming year. I want to... You can present that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I've not witnessed the way I should as a Christian. And this coming year, I am going to go out there and be a testimony for Thee. What was that?
That was my phone.
Oh. It's tithing, giving to the Lord. That's something if you're not doing, you can start doing. That'll be a present. Giving your time. Spending more time doing things. We always need people to clean up here once in a while and do stuff. There's so many things you can do with your time and that you can give Christ for His birthday. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. We need to receive our king. We should have one king and one king only. We shouldn't be having one king and say we're saved and then live like the world. And live. We got to live in the world. There's no question about it. But we don't have to be part of the world. There's a big difference. Christmas, by the way, is just not one day. And that's something else I'd like to stress this morning. To me, the holiday, I basically, and I, it's not because Glenn made this up and all, but to me it starts Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving is the day of thanks. You give thanks to God for the things that have occurred, you know, some of the big things you can remember during the year. But then the next day, and there is, every day is part of the Christmas holiday. And every day you can rejoice and be a testimony. And think about this. People, the unsaved people, are thinking more about Christ now than any time of the year. Because even Easter is just a one-day thing, where Christmas at least is the whole month. We went to the, we took our grandkids to the parade last night. One thing that I stood out in the parade that I thought was really good, I didn't count them, but quite a few floats said, "Keep Christ in Christmas." They had it someplace on that float, and I thought, cool. That was really neat. They had a pretty good parade last night, too, other than it just being cold. I mean, my family was freezing. I kept telling them, take extra. Nobody took extra. Anyhow, but that was a blessing to see that. And all. And then I got to thinking, where did the word Christmas come from? And what it actually is it's Christ Mass. A Mass. A service. And then later on, they put it together and perform Christmas. And that's where the word comes from. But it's to celebrate the birth of Christ that came into the world to die for us all. So the season starts. So each day, whether I'm putting up the tree, like we put the tree up. We bought a tree Saturday. We always buy it the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Get it up. I found that the sooner you buy, if you're going to buy a real tree, buy as soon as possible. Get it in the water. It will last. If you let it sit out there and you wait a week or 2 weeks, you're still buying a tree. It's been sitting there 2 weeks without water. And our trees usually last pretty good. And then I can make it a drudgery. Oh, you know, we don't have time to decorate the tree and put all that stuff up. You know what I did? I started studying. I came down for coffee and I put one or two ornaments on. Then I went back up for coffee, with the coffee, and put another two ornaments on. And then I came down for another cup, an hour and a half later, 2 hours later, put another two on. And then went back up, put another two on. What I did was, I tried my best to make it fun for me and not a drudgery. And guess what? By the time my wife got off of work, the tree was up. And she couldn't believe it. She said, "You did all that?" I said, "Yeah." And it wasn't a hardship, because I did it as I was passing it. When I came down for lunch, I did the same thing. Went back up for lunch, I added some more. And so you can make anything. Go into the store, where you park, whether you're in a line. Just enjoy the scenery. Talk to somebody in line. We were at the parade last night. Lady beside me, I could see she had an accent. And I said, "Where are you all from? Upstate New York or someplace?" And he said, "Yeah." And we ended up talking the rest of the night. You can talk to people. And they ended up leaving before Santa Claus came by. And they got up and said, "Thank you for being a friend and all." They just thought it was really neat. And so you can make fun out of everything. And then the funniest thing is they had porta potties. Now, I haven't been to the Christmas parade in a while. And they had porta potties on the street, you know, right behind where you were sitting. There was one across the street. And I told my wife, "I got to go." And she said, "Don't you dare go there. You go in the building." I said, "Why?" "Because everybody here is going to know you go to the bathroom." And I said, "Betty, I don't care."
Like that. She wouldn't use the bathroom
in Scatterbrain. She would go into the store and use it. And I laughed so hard. She said, "People know you're going there." And then I go again. She give me that look like, "I don't want you to go there." I said, "Bet, I'm sorry. I'm going." But anyhow, you can make everything enjoyable in your life. Even the hardest task that you got to do. Going to work, you can make enjoyable. You can make anything enjoyable. Look for the good things in life rather than the bad part of what you got to do. and enjoy Christmas every day all the way up to the 25th. And then on that 25th, you figure out, you got 25 days to figure out what you're going to give Christ for his birthday. Use each day to learn more about your Savior and God. Now, I don't know about you, but to me it's a tall order. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So I picture in my mind what holiness is. And then I realize there's some things I need not to do. The Apostle Paul says this, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Now think about what he said there. He says, I won't eat meat. Because of my, but he felt there was no problem eating the meat and eating the sacrificed meat. But he said, if it causes my brother to fall, I will not eat it. We put too much in on ourselves. What I want, I'm not going to stop doing that. I'm not going to do this. I worked hard for my money. I'm not going to give it to God. You may not say it, but that's what the end result ends up being. Or your time. Some people, someone once told me, if you want something done, you know who you ask? The person's the busiest. They're the ones that get it done. Oh, there, we got a manager over here that remembers that. I guess Bubba runs into the same thing where she works. Give something to Christ for his birthday this year. Really think, and you can give them more than one present, by the way. We give our kids more than one present. Here's something to think about. Think about this. There was one thing both King Herod and King Jesus shared in common. I bet you would never guess it. I'm not going to ask you to guess it. They both believed there was nothing that bloodshed couldn't cure. And I'll explain. Herod used bloodshed to try to stop Christmas. Christ used bloodshed to go to the cross to give us eternal life. Which king will you serve? King Herod the Scrooge? Or the king of the Jews, Christ himself, that started Christmas? Something to think about the next couple days here. 25. Well, I guess we got 20 days. I'm not sure, huh? I don't even know what the 19. Day's number is. 19? Today's the 6th then. Right? My arithmetic is good. Okay, let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org. Or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.